Hey, everybody, this is Mark in San Francisco.
And this is Gordon in Boston.
And this is Buildface. So what's the weather like there in Boston right now? Are you still trapped in the polar vortex?
No. No, but now all I can think of is that stupid oatmeal. You saw the oatmeal cartoon. It was like a single panel thing, polar vortex, and it was like a whirlpool of polar bears.
No, I didn't see it, but I can picture it.
That's the only thing. Every time anyone says polar vortex, that's the only thing that pops in my mind. No, it's not that bad. 40s. Warmed up. Most of the snow is gone, so that's good.
It's going to be 75 freaking degrees here today.
That's awesome.
It's ridiculous. They're declaring like a state of emergency for drought.
An awesome weather emergency.
No. Drought in the state of California today. It's bad. We really need rain.
How the hell?
I don't know.
It has to be above 100 for like days and days in Texas before we get a drought. You guys get 75 degrees.
Where does your water come from in Texas?
Aquifer.
But aquifer? Where does it start?
The sky? I don't know how to answer this question.
I'm saying you don't get enough rainfall to like have enough water for Texas, so it's coming from somewhere. Like the northern part of the country.
I don't know.
Oh, all right. All of ours comes from the Sierra Nevadas, and we've had like no snow in the last 2 years. So there's no runoff. There's no water.
Yeah, we definitely don't get it from snow. I think it is just from rainfalls. I think it's just from rainfall and gets stored up in aquifers and then
So Texas really is self-sufficient. It could just be its own country.
Yeah. Yeah. Has been. Didn't work out well the first time, but
oh, right. Yeah. And then Rick Perry tried it again in 2010. Yeah. That didn't fly either.
Also didn't go well. Yeah. We'll keep trying. If there's one thing you can count on Texas for, is trying to secede from the United States. There was like this, like when I moved up here, for like the first few weeks, seeing Texas from like an outside point of view, just kind of like head in my hand, just going like, come on, guys, what are you doing? You're making us look like idiots.
So you don't realize this while you're in Texas? Is that because like the news and the media
I don't know. It's totally possible that I just wasn't paying attention to it when I was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got a bone to pick with you about page view controllers.
Oh, yeah?
I like them, but they're kind of weird and kind of limited. So I wanted to use... After we talked about page view controllers last time, I had to do a image carousel this week. So like a looping image carousel. And I was immediately like, oh, this is perfect. I'll use UI page view controller. It'll take, you know, a dozen lines and I'll have a sweet looping image carousel. And it totally worked. And it was actually that easy. Until I wanted to add the little UI page control to it. So like the problem is that the nice thing about UI page view controller is that just by implementing those two methods, page index and presentation count for page view controller and presentation index for page view controller. So if you just implement those two methods, it automatically adds a page UI page control, and that's it. And you get all the interactions for free. You get, so like the UI page control, if you tap to the left or the right, it'll increment or decrement. I never said that word out loud. Is that even a word?
Yeah. That's
okay,
right.
Okay. But it'll change the page, and then if you tap the buttons, it'll jump to the specific page, and all that comes for free, and that's awesome. But when you do that, it actually screws with the frame of the view controllers that are being presented inside UI page view controller. So it shortens them by, I think, like 40 or 38 points. It's not even like it's a standard size. I think it's 38 points for the page control. So it puts the page control at the bottom of the page view controller and then shortens your presented view controller by 38 points.
That's ugly.
And there's no way to get around that at all. If you know a way to get around this, like with the default page view controller, let me know. I'd die to freaking hear this. Because the only way I could figure out how to get around it is by implementing my own page controller. And it was just, it immediately turned this kind of nice, well, you know, nice little self-contained thing into this ugly hack where I had to pass the, you know, create a page control and then pass it into the data source so that the data source could increment or decrement the page control current index crap. And then it's super easy to break because there's no, the UI page controller delegate has a will transition to view controllers. First of all, it's will transition to view controllers, and it passes you back a freaking array of the view controllers that it, like, multiple that it transitioned to. There's only one. It transitions to one. So you get handed back, at least in this case, you always get handed back an array containing one view controller that's the view controller that it's about to transition to.
So that's a legacy thing because the page view controller originally didn't have the scrolling and it was more like the iBooks. And when iBooks style, you can have two view controllers up. Like you're doing like the two-sided thing.
Got it.
So that's why that's like that.
Okay.
And so
that makes sense.
In iOS 5, it made a lot of sense if you wanted to do specifically like that book style of paging. Mm-hmm. And then in iOS 6, they added the scrolling that's more like Springboard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the API was not flexible enough to begin with, and they kind of shoehorned that in, and it's easy to use but not flexible. It's too far towards easy to use and not extendable in any good way. So no, there is no good way to put that page control on top of your view controllers. I ended up having to roll my own.
Yeah, so you did the same thing that I did. I mean, maybe not in implementation, but you had to roll your own page control and then do you hook it up to the delegate protocols?
No, I didn't. How did I do that? So I subclassed UI page view controller.
Yeah, I did too.
And then that has its own delegate that is like, I'm looking at it here. It's photos page view controller did display photo at index.
I see.
And okay. So then every time that's called, I just change the page control. The other thing
How is that getting called? How are you calling that?
So, okay. Let's see.
You see what I mean? So my problem, just to finish what I was saying before, my other problem here is that there's only a will transition to view controllers. There's no did transition to view controllers. So there's a did finish animating and it hands you the previous view controllers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no like did transition to view controllers. So it's super easy to break my page control by like starting to transition to the next thing and then just letting go. And so the page control will increment, but you don't actually get to the next page.
Okay. So the way I got around that is that I did implement did finish animating previous view controllers transition completed. And the completed bit is the important part there. So if the completed part is yes, that means that we actually changed pages. If you kind of like scroll it over and then let go, that completed bit will be no. So if completed is yes, then I call over to, let's see, notify page photos delegate of page change. And then I'm also keeping track of like a page index internally in the subclass because all of my individual view controllers, I taught them to know what page index they are. So when they get added in, I tell them what they are, and then they report back to me what their page index is. And then that lets me turn around and report that back out via a delegate and say, here's the photo we're looking at now, and here's the page you're on.
Hmm.
Yeah, but it's important that only happens if completed is yes.
Yeah. Because that's the problem I'm running into now. It's just frustrating because all of this... that we're talking about could be solved by them just giving me a Boolean to say, don't screw with the frames, right? Like, that's like, I opened radars on all this stuff, but my main point in the radar was like, so I opened a radar specifically for allowing us to do this kind of thing. But the way I presented it is like, all you need to do is not mess with the frame. If you just don't mess with the frame of the presenting view controller, if you just don't do extra work, then it should work. It should be fine. If you mm-hmm. if you just let the frame be what the frame is, you know, I wouldn't have to do any of this stuff. I wouldn't have to do any of this, you know, creating my own delegates or rigging up my own page view page controls, you know.
Were you able to figure out when your page view controllers get resized? Is it like on every scroll? It must be, right? Because you only create them right before you begin a drag.
Yeah, like it's resizing it before it animates every scroll.
Does that mean that if you try to resize the view in Wheel Transition, it's too late?
Yes. Yes.
Too early, I mean.
No, late. It's gonna... Too late.
So it's already been resized, and then Wheel Transition is called.
See? Yeah. Yeah.
So couldn't you force it to, like, force that view controller's frame to just be your frame?
At Wheel Transition?
Yeah.
Then you would see the frame pop larger, because by the time Wheel Transition's called, you're potentially already on the thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking that you could possibly override view wheel layout subviews in the page view controller subclass. Don't call super and take, you know, whatever view controllers you have right now and force their frames to be the same as like your bounds.
Yeah.
But that's a hack, right?
It's a hack. And that's kind of my whole point here is like, I think this is a totally valid thing to ask from the framework, because we're not asking for them to do more. And it's obviously, it's totally possible that I'm completely misunderstanding the implementation details of what's actually going on here, right? But from my perception, what it looks like is that if I don't implement those two delegate methods, those two data source methods that automatically create the page view controller, the frame is correct, right? So they're able to get the correct frame. Something about creating something about when you create the page view, the page controller, which also, this is not their best naming ever, right? Like, you have a page view controller and then a page control. Gets very confusing to me. You don't think so? I know the difference in there, but every time I'm talking about it, like, I keep catching myself saying page controller instead of page control.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I guess
So from my perception, it looks like when they create the page control, they are also setting something up so that they're tweaking the frame at some point in the transition process, right? So just don't do that. You know what I mean? Set up the page control and just don't mess with the frame.
Yeah.
And it should be fine.
I'm guessing all they're doing is changing their internal scroll view size and just making it a little shorter.
That's exactly what they're doing. I looked at all this, right? So that's exactly what they're doing. They're changing it's not that they're changing my view controller size. They're changing the UI
queuing scroll view
size, right? Mm-hmm. But again, it's being resized constantly, like during every transition. So even if you fix it, I'm pretty sure, I could be totally wrong here, but I've seen it flip. Like, I've tried forcing it to be larger, and then when I transition, it jumps down to being smaller. So I think they're changing the size. They're changing the frame on every transition. So, like, all I'm asking is to not do that resize.
Right. Because Apple doesn't do that anywhere where they use a page control. It's always overlaid on top of the pages themselves, the content.
It seems like a very common use case for this specific thing. And the rest of it is set up so nicely for this. You know what I mean? Like I showed you my like initial run at this, right? So basically I have like a little factory method that creates, takes images and vends essentially anonymous view controllers with a image view as the view, right? The main view. And so then those just get dropped into the data source, and then it just kind of works, right?
Yeah.
The only other weird point with it is having to set the initial view controller, which also kind of sucks. Like, it would be better if the data source could just say, you know, vend the item at index zero.
Yeah, instead of setting an initial, it just needs like a reload data equivalent to kind of just kick off calling something. The data source and filling it in.
Yeah, exactly. It's just frustrating because it's so close to being a really, really, really nice API that is really, really good at doing this one thing that, like, I've hacked this together, you know what I mean, with scroll views and... Like, I've hacked this kind of thing together before, and it's kind of a pain in the ass. And being able to use this class and this kind of, you know, and the delegates and data sources to do it is really nice, except that these weird limitations just kind of, they're like little needles, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing they were just trying to save you from, like, shooting yourself in the foot, I guess, and having page controls over light content that you wouldn't be able to see. The other thing is, doesn't UI page control have some like? I mean, UI page control has a tint color.
They have a few, but you can't get to the page control from inside the page controller.
Right, which is weird.
Yeah,
so weird. I mean, at least vend it as like a read only.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. You can use UI appearance to tweak that.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And so
what you could do is, since you're saying you're subclassing it, you could use that. There's a UI appearance thing that I never use. UI appearance.
Talking about appearance when contained in.
Yes. So if you're subclassing UI page view controller, you could then do appearance when contained in my custom page view controller, right? So you could actually change all that stuff for UI page control just when it's inside your thing, and that would save you, you know? But still, you know, it still feels weird that specifically isn't, like, essentially the stuff around the page controller, or the page control, see, I did it again. Essentially, the stuff around the page control feels weird because they didn't give us access to the stuff that it feels like Apple would normally give access to.
Right.
Even and in a read-only capacity.
Yeah. I have a feeling that they made it for this very specific case in iOS 5, and then they moved to iOS 6, and they thought, okay, it's close enough to be like a paging scroll view too, so let's throw that functionality in there. But then to retain backwards compatibility, their hands were kind of tied.
But if you're, and I get that, but if you're adding API, right, if you're just making something... Backwards compatibility is important if you're like changing the behavior of an existing method, right? So like I totally, totally understand the will transition to page view to view controllers and passing back an array. Got it. That makes sense. Now leave that the way it is. I don't care. I'll just pull the first object out. it's not a huge deal to me. I mean, that it's not pretty, but you know, it is what it is. So I totally get not changing the behavior of that. But, like, not opening up the page control, right? You're literally just adding it to the public interface as a read-only property. That won't break backwards compatibility.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, or yeah. adding a did transition to view controllers. You know, keep the API the same. Return an array of you know view controllers. I don't care. Like I said, I'll just pull the first object out. But give me a built-in notification. You know, we have these already. Like this is it's not like this is kind of a crazy weird pattern. You know, view did load. View will appear. View did appear. You know, view will appear is exactly like will transition to view controllers. View will appear is not guaranteed to mean that you're not. It's not guaranteed that the view is actually going to appear. It's just saying like, hey, the view's probably going to appear right now. You may want to do some setup stuff. You know, view did appear is when it's like this view is actually here now, 100%. The view is in you know on screen. You should do whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll link to the radars that I filed because there were actually filed 3 radars this week. I was very proud of myself.
Good job.
I don't remember what they were. 2, I think, were on UI page view controller, and the other one is on UI image. And the template stuff, in iOS 7 you can have UI images have a render mode, and you can set the render mode by default is UI render mode automatic, something I don't know, I'm probably truncating that a bit, but whatever. There's like automatic, always original, and always template, and what those mean is like. I don't know actually where how automatic works. If I had to guess, I feel like it's probably if it's just a straight black and white image, it'll use it as a template. And if it's got color to it, it'll use it as a original, but I could be totally reading into that.
It's something like that. And they discussed in one of the WWDC sessions about appearance. And I think it might be if your image has alpha and one solid color, like everything that's not transparent is one solid color, it will defer to the template mode, which means that it will get tinted with your tint color, whatever that happens to be cascading down from its super view. And in most cases, that's going to be the window.
Right. So I wanted to be able to... Like I had to create a custom view for a custom bar button item. And I wanted to be able to tint that image that I was using inside that custom view. So I had like a view and then an image view inside there and then like a label also. And it wasn't using that image as a template. It was only using it as the original. So the tint color was having no effect. The tint color that I was setting on the UI image view itself. So I opened a radar. So and then the big problem for me was that, it's not a big problem, but the issue for me was that there's no way to set that property through Xcode. Right, like you have to do it in code. You can't do it anywhere. It would be much better if inside the so you have to do it in code and so I'm assigning the image in Interface Builder, and then I have to set the render mode in code. But render mode is read only. So in order to change the render mode of an image, you have to create a copy of the image with a specific render mode. So there's a instance method image with render mode. So it copies it and changes the render mode and then hands you back a new image. So that just means that I have to get the image out of the image view, copy it, changing its render mode, and then reset it back on that image view. And that's kind of a pain in the ass, you know? It would be so much better if in Interface Builder, for any image view, you could just say, like, make... You know, you've got to instantiate this image anyway. Make it a, you know, set the mode to template, force it to be a template, you know.
Or even in
the image assets, you know, like in the image asset catalog, I could also see it there. You know what I mean? We're like, this is a template image. I don't care what you think it is. This is a template image.
I think that's where it would have to go, because just to play devil's advocate, it's not a property on UI image view.
No. Right.
And so Interface Builder never lets you configure things that are sort of in like the model domain.
Right.
But yes, I could see that going in the asset catalog.
Right. I proposed sense. Both in the thing. It's not that I care which it is, just if it's it should have been available somewhere outside of code where I had to do this kind of annoying, you know, get the image, copy the image, reassign the image thing. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was those three. So I opened one for adding a Boolean property to disable the resizing of UI page view controller subviews. Add UI page view controller delegate page view controller did transition to view controllers, and add the ability to set the render mode for UI image from IB or image assets. Those are the three that I opened.
Cool. Thanks for doing that, man.
Yeah.
Giving back.
I also opened one a while ago. Now that I'm in this, I also opened up one a while ago that the right and left bar button items properties on UI navigation item. So self.navigationItem.rightBarButtonItems. Right, if there aren't any button items, those two right bar button items and left bar button items return nil if there aren't any button items. Not an empty array. I really feel like it should return an empty array.
Give me an example of when you would like to have an empty array.
So I had a method that I wanted to dynamically add a bar button item to view controllers, right? But I didn't want to necessarily say this is always going to be the only bar button item. So I had like essentially a category method on UI view controller that was like add menu button, right? So maybe we're talking left bar button items, and it's going to add the little basement menu hamburger menu button thing, right? But I don't want to say that that's always going to be the only button on the left, right? Maybe I have a design that has two buttons on the left, but I want to be able to dynamically add that in multiple places. So I move that code out into a category, and the way the category would work is get the right bar button items, create a mutable copy, right? And then add this button to it. And then reset the bar button items. So you're appending a new bar button item instead of overwriting the existing bar button items. But since it doesn't return an empty array, since it returns nil, you have to get the bar button items, check to see if they're nil. If they're nil, return a new mutable array. If they aren't nil, return a mutable copy of the existing array. And then keep going.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, here's a question. If you set a left bar button item, singular, and then query the left bar button items property, do you get an array with that item in it?
I'm fairly sure that you do.
Okay.
I could be totally wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Because the first item in left bar button items is left bar button item. So if you have multiple, so they're definitely connected. If you have multiple bar button items, you call left bar button item, it'll give you the object in index 0 from left bar button items. So I'm assuming that by setting left bar button item, what it's actually doing is setting the left bar button items to an array consisting of one element.
Mm-hmm.
In iOS 5 and later, the contents of this property, left bar button item, always refer to the first bar button item in left bar button items array. Assigning a new value to this property replaces the first item in the array with the new value. Yeah, so left bar button item and right bar button item, they only... So it actually doesn't If you have, say, three bar button items and you set left bar button item, it just changes the first one. It just changes the item in object zero. Object at index zero. But, so, and then if you set it to nil, it'll remove it from the array. And if the bar button is at, say, index three, and you set it, so it's already in the array, and now you set it as left bar button item, it just moves it to the front. This is a very weird...
Yeah, that's wacky.
It's really, really weird.
Hmm. There's no iOS Dev Weekly yet, and I'm really disappointed because I usually use that as a crutch when I'm trying to remember things to talk about. And today, this week's has not been published, but I found a new good alternative.
What's that?
Have you seen iOS goodies?
Yeah, I've seen it pop up on.
Yeah, I've been reading this. It's almost better. I really enjoy it. So it's ios-goodies.tumblr.com by Rui Perez. I hope I didn't butcher that name. Do you follow Mark Edwards from Pajango on the Twitter? So he was talking earlier in the week about workarounds to get your sort of like app preview to update in the background. So, you know, you go to the new multitasking menu view in iOS 7 and you see a preview of your app. And the Apple apps will update. Mm-hmm. So if you have like a timer going and you open up clock in there, you can see it counting down. But there's no good public API to do that. But there's an article by Adam Bell where he talks about abusing background tasks to basically run every second, end themselves, and then create a new background task. And it keeps the app alive in the background. And it keeps updating his app's view so that it will constantly update in the switcher.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
I'm not sure there's actually any app in the store that's doing this or if it would get past the review process, but it's interesting. And I always love
weird people hack
around things like that. Yeah.
That sounds like something you would want to do if you just really hate your customers' batteries.
Maybe.
I mean, it's an interesting end result, but I can't imagine like, I can't imagine wanting to do that.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work just to, for this little thing that most people are not going to notice.
Well, and I think it goes beyond people not noticing it. It feels selfish to me. Like, it feel, you know, like saying, I'm going to take advantage of these loopholes to keep my app in the back, open always in the background, because I think that my app shouldn't be always open in the background. You're taking, you know, you're sucking up RAM from other processes. You're taking the battery life away from your customers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I totally get that the end result is kind of neat, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's neat. It's not particularly helpful.
Right.
But as part of that discussion, they had mentioned that maybe the multitasking view would be more useful if it wasn't necessarily just a screenshot of your app's last state, but mm-hmm. if you could provide a custom view to be shown there that's maybe sure. like stripped down of the UI
yeah.
and more focused on.
Yeah, that would be like, awesome.
Yeah, so it's more like a widget. Like when it's in that mode, now you've kind of like switched to show this simplified view.
Yeah.
I think
or even a controller, like handed a whole view controller, right? Like let's, you know, go with actual code here, but it's a view controller that I guess you could probably instantiate it from outside the app, from outside the app switcher as well. You know, it could just be a view controller, but it just gets instantiated with frame, maybe, you know, or it just gets instantiated. You can set it up like you would any other view controller. So it can run logic, it can do whatever it needs to do. It can act like a part of your actual app, but it should be able to run in isolation away from the rest of your apps. At least the rest of your apps, like view hierarchy and view structure stuff. Like it should be relatively self-contained in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking like messages instead of seeing the like the wherever you last were in the app. Instead, show me like a high level overview of like my new messages.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really big in that sort of smaller screenshot.
Yeah, or like a timer. If it is a timer app, for example, you know, the app switcher would just show like just a full screen countdown, like white, you know, white on like white text on a black background, you know what I mean? Or black text on a white background, whatever, but just big freaking numbers counting down, you know, don't show me the tiny, tiny, tiny UI that just happens to have numbers updating in it. You know what I mean? Show me the important information,
right?
Weather switches, just show me the temperature and like if it's going to rain in the next 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. And that seems like it's more manageable in terms of memory and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And battery life. Because you wouldn't have to even instantiate those. You know, they could hook into the exact same view controller delegate stuff, your view controller lifecycle stuff, you know what I mean? So that, you know, it loads the view when you're like three, you know, maybe two or three spots off, you know, and then right before the your view pops on a screen, you can get the view will appear stuff, and then view did appear when it's fully on screen. Like you could take advantage of all those same conventions that we already have.
Yeah. So you're saying only do it like if you were recently opened. Like maybe not like if you're like 20 apps down in the stack.
No, what I'm saying is that you would use the same view loading mechanisms that it that that we were already used to with like a view hierarchy. You know what I mean? So I would just see this as being like a really long navigational structure, you know, so it doesn't get instantiated or the view doesn't get loaded until maybe it's, you know, three or four apps away from showing your app in the switcher.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so then it,
but it can load, it would act exactly like the rest of your navigational hierarchy, you know. View will appear would get called right before the view slides on screen. You know, gives you some time to do that kind of basic setup setting stuff. View did appear when it's fully on screen. You know,
yeah.
View will disappear. View did disappear. You get all that stuff built in through the, and you would you could treat it the exact same way you would treat it if it's inside your own navigational structure. You know. So it's literally just a view controller. I'm talking myself into this idea. This is a good idea.
It's the prospect of things like this make me excited for iOS 8.
Yeah.
The odd number iOS updates are always revolutionary, as they say, and then the even ones are evolutionary. What I'm worried about is that iOS 8 will just be fixing everything in iOS 7, and we won't really get much in the way of new API.
But I feel like that's what the 7.x series is going to be, don't you?
Yeah, but they're so slow forthcoming. I mean, typically by now in previous releases, we would have like the point update by now. Like we would have had 7.1.
It's in beta.
It's in beta, but
yeah,
those betas are very few and far between.
Yeah.
And according to Mac Rumors, if you believe things like that, it probably won't be out until like March.
Yeah.
So maybe we won't even get like a 7.2. It'll be like 7.1.
And then 8.
And then just 8.
Huh. Yeah, that'd be weird.
It's kind of crazy that we're already 6 months from WWDC.
Don't say that.
Time to start speculating.
I've almost got my head wrapped around iOS 7.
Oh, hey, look. iOS Dev Weekly just appears.
Sweet. 3.25 million to parents whose kids made in-app purchases?
No, 32.5 million.
32.5. What did I say? 3.25?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Didn't this happen a few years ago?
I don't know.
They went through the same thing where there was some lawsuit about these like kids were able to buy things on in-app purchase. And they were running up, you know, all these expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And then Apple settled. So why are we doing this again? There is a setting to disable in-app purchases, isn't there?
Yeah.
In privacy?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Clang format Xcode plugin.
Yeah, I heard that it's not. It needs some time in the oven.
Hmm.
I could be wrong.
Okay, moving on. CodePilot was updated this week. And it went open source and supports iOS 7 now. We talked about that previously.
We did?
Yeah, we were talking about our favorite tools of the year. And I was mentioning using CodePilot to make sure that you're not using API that aren't available on older versions.
That's not CodePilot. That's DeployMate. That's DeployMate.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what's CodePilot?
I don't know. That's why I was surprised. Oh, it's a switcher thing. It's like a fuzzy finder.
Oh, like a replacement for OpenQuickly?
Yeah. I feel like I bought it at one point. I could be wrong. But yeah, I think it's a plugin for Xcode 5 that allows you to quickly find files, methods, and symbols within your project without the need for your mouse. So it's OpenQuickly.
I think the thing you're thinking of was that it updated the Xcode autocomplete to work like Xcode 5's OpenQuickly. So you don't have to type in the characters in sequence. Like, you can kind of jump between...
No, that's a different Xcode plugin.
Okay, I don't know anything.
No, that's the Fuzzy Finder Xcode plugin, which I'm still absolutely in love with. That one's great. No, this is... CodePilot is a Fuzzy Finder. It's a replacement for OpenQuickly. I don't know enough about it to say why you would need to use it over OpenQuickly, especially the new OpenQuickly in Xcode 5, which is kind of awesome. But maybe it's just a better fuzzy finder. I don't know. Should try it. I feel like I bought a license to this at one point years ago, but whatever. What else?
You have anything else you want to complain about?
No.
We can call it a show.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good, Gordon.
Cool.
Good chatting with you.
You too.
Pleasant morn.
Show notes for this episode are going to be available at podcasts.thoughtbot.com/buildphase/23.
As always, we want to hear from you, so email us at buildphase@thoughtbot.com, reach out on Twitter or app.net @buildphase, or leave a rating or review on iTunes, as those help us out a lot.